house of the Lord this morning. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. We just want to cover this word in prayer. Before we do anything, we always want to pray, don't we? Yes. What's the Bible say? Don't worry about anything, but pray about
everything.
Come on, church, 12 o'clock. Let's pray together. Do you want to close your eyes? You can lift your hands if you want to. Lifting your hands is just being a sign of open to God and being open to receive. If someone has given you a gift, you have to put out your hands to receive it. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge your presence in this place. Anything that's on our minds, on our hearts, anything that we might be feeling even physically in our bodies right now, we choose to not focus on that, but to focus on you.
Amen.
We want to be present in your presence. We don't want to miss what you need to say to us this morning, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for anything that we've done, any sin that we've committed right now for your forgiveness, Lord.
Amen.
Search our hearts right now. Bring to mind attitudes or behaviours or things that we've said. And through your precious blood, we are white as snow, Lord. And we accept your forgiveness. I pray, God, as we look at your word, the silent prayers that we've been praying, the moments of uncertainty or doubt, or maybe, Lord, where we just need a miracle, that this word today would speak into that. Heal as this word is being spoken, Lord, because your word brings healing. Your word is life and light to us, Heavenly Father. So have your way in this place, Lord. Do whatever you want to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We love you, we thank you, and we believe you. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give God a round of applause. You can grab your seat. Praise God. Praise God. The title of today's word is Pick Your Path. Say it with me. Pick
your path.
Pick your path. And this is a word from God. And the reason I know it's a word from God is Pastor Tom spoke this morning at our 9:30 awaken service. We have a prayer service at 9:30 on a Sunday morning that you're more than welcome to come to, 12 o'clock. You're going to be, I'm here for 3 hours at church on my days. But the 9:30 is where it's at, because we pray over the whole day. There's worship, there's a sharing. But what Pastor Tom spoke on was what I'm speaking on today, and I didn't know that we were going to be speaking on the same topic. So God is confirming
Amen.
His word for today. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And when Pastor Tom spoke last week, who was here last week? All the holy people, man, the holy people.
I know.
I'm only messing. But he used this verse, which is one of my favourite, and it's been on my mind all week, and it's this. If I can use the clicker. Why is it every pastor goes, where's the clicker, don't they? Every Sunday? Every Sunday. Here we go. Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Do you want to be in step with God?
Amen. Yes.
Okay, you're in the right place. Whatever has happened in your life this week, however far you have felt from God, whether you haven't spoken to him in a long time or it's been a day or two, whatever you did last night that you might be ashamed of, can I tell you, can I encourage you, your steps have brought you to the right place this morning. You're in the right place. So we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And brothers and sisters, every day you pick a path. Every day, you and I have to make a decision. Am I doing today with God at the center, or am I not? Sometimes it's not even deliberate. Sometimes we can go throughout our whole day, and it's at the end of the day, and we're going, I didn't even speak to God. I didn't even pray to God. Sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it is. We know that we're going the wrong way. But unless you and I make a decision every day to put God first, our path is going to be different. If I'm not in tune with God every day, my step for that day is going to be wrong. And if you keep that up, you can end up in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time, a lifetime, in a place that you didn't expect because you are out of sync with God. That's why when you pick your path every day, you choose the Lord, because he will direct our steps. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to be looking at two people today. We're going to be looking at King Saul and King David. And if you're familiar with these scriptures, you'll know them. But if you're not, Saul is Israel's first king, and David is Israel's second king. One loses his crown, loses his kingdom in effect, and the other keeps it. And the two of them, they're both doing the same job. They're both kings, but how they go about it is completely different. Do you ever have two different managers in work?
Yes.
I was just about to say who hates their job, but we're not going to go there on a Sunday. The Sunday scaries. But you can have two managers in work, and they can go about it two completely different ways. You can have one manager who micromanages, who belittles you, who gossips, who doesn't encourage you. And you can have another manager who promotes you and supports you and tries to encourage you in your job. You can be doing the same job, but it's two different experiences with the managers. Isn't that right? You can have two different pastors. Tom is a pastor. I call him Dad. You can't call him Dad, you know that. Don't be calling him Daddy, that's weird. It's only for me. In the first service, you'd be laughing at this. I was making the comparison between me and Dad, and I said, I'm a man. And I don't know why that happens. Obviously, I'm not a man, you can see that. Praise the Lord, amen? Anyway, that's it. But we're two different people. I am a woman, hallelujah.
Amen.
And Dad is a man. Dad has no hair. I have beautiful hair, don't I?
Yes. Praise God.
Oh, don't be jealous. But we're different in how we go about things. Dad is actually more extroverted than me. I'm quite introverted. There isn't a right and wrong. There's just different people. But in the case of Saul and David, there was right and wrong. If you know Saul's story, Saul was not after God's heart. Saul was after his ego and his reputation. David was after God's heart. That was the difference between these two men, and that's what we're going to look at today. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel. This is about David being anointed as king, the second king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Imagine the Lord rejecting you. Ooh. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Here's the key part. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the
heart.
At the heart. At the heart. If God was to look at your heart today, what would he see? Is it pure? Is it bitter? Is it loving? Is it corrupted? And that's why I prayed at the start, Lord, search our hearts. Because if there's anything that shouldn't be there, we've already asked for forgiveness, haven't we? We've already been forgiven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The path you pick every day determines the legacy that you leave. Your daily decisions determine your future. And when you pick Jesus every day, when you pick God every day, it shows up in your life, brothers and sisters. It shows up in your workplace when everyone else is gossiping. You choose not to, because you have self-control from the Holy Spirit. It shows up in your family dynamic that instead of worrying about how God is going to provide, you grab your family and say, we're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray because God is our provider. What you pick, what you pick. And it leaves a legacy. And sometimes we can think of the path that we choose on big things. Where am I going to live? Who will I marry? What's my job? And they're all important things. But when you leave God out of your daily decisions, that's when our steps start wandering. So I'm going to look just at two things today from Saul and from David. And the first is this. There's man's choice or there's God's choice. Saul, in choosing to be king, or when he was chosen, that was man's choice. That was not God's choice. David, when he was chosen to be king, was God's choice. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm making a decision, I want God to choose it. Yeah? I don't want anyone else to choose it, because when it goes wrong, are they going to save me? No, God will save me. Here's what it says. 1 Samuel 9:2. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Is he single?
Yeah.
I don't know. Imagine. Now, is anyone in here good looking? Anna, who put up their hand? Let me double check that. Brain sinners. I love the humility. If you are good looking, good for you. Good for you. But if you've been around anyone good looking for any period of time, they get treated differently, don't they? You go into a restaurant and you're with someone good looking, they just smile and make eye contact and they'll get something for free. I go into a restaurant and I smile and I make eye contact and I get a smile back. Hello, how are you? Good looking people are very different. But sometimes we judge good looking people too and think that's all that they are. That's wrong as well, isn't it? People may look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. All the teenagers howling. Who's good looking over here? Anna, go on away. Messers. So Saul is a handsome young man. And here's what it says about David. We read it already, but if you go to the yellow part, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It doesn't say that King David is ugly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's not what was important. These two men are to be kings. And with Saul, he's chosen by people because of his outward appearance. He is chosen because this nation of Israel, remember he's the first king, this nation of Israel are looking at all the nations around them and saying, that nation has a king, that nation has a king, we want a king. So they look for someone who's good looking and tall. Does that qualify him to be king? No, that's stupid. So that's why they chose him. And then we see with David, he's chosen by God because of his heart. Because of his heart. There's nothing wrong with being good looking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I don't want to be, or you don't want to be, in places or positions or relationships because people have chosen it for you. You might look able on the outside, but if God isn't blessing it and covering it, can I tell you, it's not going to work. Here's what we know. Am I chasing people's approval or am I chasing God's heart? When you are making decisions, and Dad spoke about it last week, Pastor Tom, this is a key time for a lot of people to make decisions. People are going back to school, work is picking up, you're looking at the last few months of the year, maybe going into 2026. And the decisions that you're making, if you really look at it, am I doing this because it's God's heart, or am I doing this because of what people are saying? And it can happen in small things every day. Like I mentioned, it can happen that people could be gossiping in work, and I'm going to feel the pressure to fall into that. That's not God's heart. God tells us we're not to gossip. We know that, yeah?
Amen.
You're not to gossip. It can be in, even with family, in your family. In my home, you walk in my front door and there's a picture on the wall that Sinead gave me. You gave it when I moved into my apartment. And it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So am I coming to church because of Sinead or what people will think? No, I'm coming because of God. And I'm coming regardless of whatever anyone else thinks out there. Whether people question my Christianity, whether they mock it or belittle it, I am following the Lord.
Amen.
Are you following the Lord?
Yes.
So this is what we're to do. Every day, in the decisions that I'm making, whether they're big ones or small ones, what's my heart behind this? And my prayer, brothers and sisters, is that we're so in tune with the Holy Spirit that we'll always go after God's heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's my second point. Temporary oil or lasting anointing. These two kings were anointed to be kings. But how it happened was very differently. We see this. They're both anointed to be king. Saul, the first king, is anointed with a flask. It's fragile, it's temporary. So when I thought of flask, I thought of like a Stanley cup. Charlene, throw up your Stanley cup there, girl. These are about 50 euro and hold water. Isn't that nuts? I have one, so I can't judge. What can I say? But that's what I thought, a stainless steel cup. So I'm going, that's sturdy. But when I looked it up, it's like what you see in the picture. It's a piece of clay, and it's fragile. And if you drop it, it will crack or chip or potentially break. And this is what Saul, the first king, is anointed with. And it shows the future of what his kingship is going to be like. It's going to be fragile, and it's going to be temporary. Where this is what we see in 1 Samuel. So Samuel took the horn. This is for David, the second king. It was a horn of oil, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Hallelujah. May the Spirit of the Lord come upon you powerfully today. Amen. Here's the key part. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, the first king, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Why was the Spirit of the Lord lifted from Saul? We don't have time to go into today, but to summarize it, it's because he was disobedient to God. When you are disobedient to God and you keep going against what he's asking you to do, brothers and sisters, you need to be very careful, because God can lift the blessing, God can lift the anointing, God can lift the peace from your life. And we know later on, Saul had what they call a tormented spirit. That's what it was described. And you know what stood out to me on this? An evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And I'm going, gosh, that's very harsh, isn't it? That God would send a tormenting spirit. I don't know about you, but I pray a lot, as I should. I'm a pastor, hello. But when I pray against the evil one, any attack of the enemy. Sometimes what's going on in your life is because of disobedience, and the Lord is sending something else. And you know what that does? It unsettles you. It disturbs you. And the aim of it, it's to point you back to Jesus. It's to get you back into the will of God. If you're here today and you feel unsettled, just turn to Jesus. Amen. Go back to Jesus. But I want to look at these evil spirits, because we are hearing this language a lot in today's world, hearing about spirits. But here's examples of evil spirits in the Bible. Biblical types of evil spirits. There's a harmful spirit, which is what we talked about with Saul. There's a lying spirit, that you tell lies or you believe lies. There's a sick spirit, making you physically ill. There's a mute or deaf spirit, stops you from speaking or being able to hear. There's a fortune-telling spirit. That spirit tries to tell the future. Do not mess with fortune-tellers.
Amen.
Do not mess with horoscope. Do not mess with crystals. Do not mess with sage around your door. Anything apart from the blood of Jesus is counterfeit. Do not play with it. You see a TikTok and your one is telling the future, get off it. Block it. One way, Jesus. Amen. One way, one truth, one life. Don't be going to fortune tellers. Here's other types of evil spirit. There's a fearful spirit. You can have a spirit of fear. That's not from God. There's an unclean spirit. This makes us sin. There's an idol spirit. We idolize things over God. That can be money. That can be a person. That could be a sports team. There's a familiar spirit, as if it's like someone from the dead. That's not of God. Amen? And there's an anti-Christ spirit. And that's literally what it says. Someone who is anti-Jesus. These are types of evil spirits that we see. Are you aware as a Christian of these types of spirits? And if you're not, you won't be praying against them. When you are sick, you go to a doctor, and hopefully if they're a good doctor, they'll tell you specifically what's wrong with you, don't they? They go, okay, your foot, you've torn a ligament in your foot. So then you can get the proper treatment for that. Brothers and sisters, when you're praying, make sure that you're praying for the thing specifically. So on something like this, if you're going, God, do you know what? I have a fearful spirit for the future. I'm scared that I'm not going to get what I need. I'm scared that I'm not going to make it through. I'm scared. That's a spirit of fear. That's not from God. So you can pray specifically into that. Do you know that?
Amen.
So start being sharp in your prayers. Call it out. But we saw that an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. This was from God. Now, here's what I want to point out with you. If God did not lift the blessing of his anointing from Saul and send this spirit to him, David wouldn't have become king. Here's what we know. And Tom shared it this morning. Saul was tormented in the palace. And one of his workers or servants comes to him and says, I know a guy, David, who plays the lyre, which is like a stringed instrument. Let me get him and he'll come soothe you. That was David's first step into the palace where he would become king. So what God had sent as a tormenting spirit, if that did not happen, David wouldn't have got into the palace. David wouldn't have gone on to become king. So don't dismiss if God is doing something in your life and you're not understanding it. God can still use it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's all connected. So we looked at the spirits. What spirit is filling you? If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit every day, some other spirit is. And it's a daily requirement, brothers and sisters. We leak, don't we? I don't wake up in the morning naturally and go, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Usually I have to pray. I have to worship God. I have to declare the word of God over my life. A lot of the times I have to stir my spirit. That's what I have to do to be filled with it. When I don't do that, I'm going to fill my spirit with something else. I can fill it with fear, or I can fill it with faith. I can fill it with anxiety, or I can fill it with awe. I can fill it with anger, or I can fill it with kindness. I can fill it with lust, or I can fill it with love. You choose the spirit that you're filled with every day, and a lot of the time we don't even realize that we have a different spirit in us. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Are you? Oh, okay.
Yes.
One person is. The pastor. Lads, were in trouble. Oh, my days. If I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be filled with something else. It's your spirit. It's your responsibility. Coming to church is a great point in your week. It's really important. But if it's like drinking water. If the only time you drink water is on a Sunday at church, you're going to die by the end of the week. Aren't you? And it's the same spiritually. If the only time you're drinking water, in the sense spiritually, is here, you're not going to last the week. You're probably going to get to tonight and go, yeah. Or you get to Monday morning and you slip up. Or that's how it happens, brothers and sisters. The same way you drink water throughout your day, that's the way we should be with God. That we're talking to him, that we're worshipping him, that we're in communion with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We see David being anointed with a horn. You see it up on the screen. And this is strong and this is enduring. And that was his kingship. David made a lot of mistakes. He messed up hugely. But hallelujah, we have a gracious God. And what David did was he always went back to God. He had a heart that would repent, whereas Saul was proud and arrogant and would deny his disobedience, even when people called him out on it. Can I say this? If you have people in your life who love the Lord and who you are accountable to, that they can pray with you, but they can also call you out. If they call you out and you have that relationship with them, and I'm not saying now for people to call each other out, that's your sin, that's your sin. We're not doing that, amen? But for those who have those relationships, if someone does address something with you and saying, brother, sister, I'm seeing this in your life. I don't want you to fall into that sin. Be humble enough. Be humble enough to hear them and to ask for forgiveness from God. When you are arrogant, when we are proud, brothers and sisters, not only does it affect our relationship with God, it affects our relationship with that person too. So be very careful. That's a prophetic word for someone here in the room. You're in that right now. Be very careful on that. 30 years was how old David was when he became king. So from his anointing when he was a teenager to his appointing as a king, there was a lot of time in between. You sense it in the spirit before you see it in reality. God has given you the promise. God has told you this is going to happen. The business will work out. Your health will return back to a good level. Your relationship is going to make it through. God has told you it, but in the reality in your world, it looks the complete opposite. But what God was doing was he was preparing David for it, wasn't he? He was preparing him to be king. And here's what the Lord would say: God never hurries what's important. He's not going to rush it. He's going to take his time. We see time from a human point of view. God knows exactly what he's doing. But it's completely different with the Lord. And he takes his time. If God rushed what you're praying for, you might think that you earned it and you got it and it wasn't good. If God rushed what you're praying for, you might think, well, maybe God isn't caring about this in the way that he should. Brothers and sisters, we trust God's timing. Amen?
Amen.
We trust it abundantly. Here's the verse we started with. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines
our steps.
Our steps. We want to be step in step with the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship band to come up. I have two prophetic words I want to share. When I was in bed last night at 1 o'clock, next door to me there was a huge fight that broke out. So much so that they were banging on my window and they were trying to break down the front door next door. They were fighting in my front garden, and I'm meant to be preaching today, hallelujah. And the guards are coming. Even when I'm here this morning, I'm seeing on my camera doorbell, the guards calling to my door again. I wasn't involved, yeah? Okay, so you're wondering, is she confessing or what's going on? But that's what happened last night. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, it got to a point where I was scared, right? It's not normal for where I live. Let me just say that too. It's not normal. But I got scared. And what did we read? God hasn't given us a spirit of... And I was praying to God in my bed. And I prayed to God. And I said, God, whatever evil spirit is out there, don't let it come into my home. Protect me, Lord. Put your angels around me, Lord. Whatever is happening, I pray, God, that you would bring peace into it. And literally 2 minutes after I prayed that, the guards came. 2 minutes. I didn't call them, by the way. I wasn't ratting out anyone. But when I was praying on this morning, you can start brewing up if you want. But when I was praying on this morning, there's people in this room, and that is your life right now. You know that you're safe, but what's going on you is like all hell breaking loose. And you feel scared, and it feels like an attack. I want us to pray, if you are in that situation this morning, for God to protect you, and God to bless you in it, and for you not to be afraid. The second prophetic word that I have is there's people in this room and you are looking at your life and you see nothing. It's like the ground is barren. There's nothing growing. And it says in Exodus 3, chapter 5, that Moses took off his sandals and he was in the desert, but he was standing on holy ground. And there's people in this room, and what you are seeing as nothing growing, God is saying it's not barren, it's holy ground. And what isn't growing is around you. What's growing is you. God is growing you. That's why you can't see it. So will you stand wherever you're at? Will we just close our eyes before we worship God? If you are here today and you identify with one of those two words or both of them, will you just throw a hand up? You're saying, I feel the attack, I feel it around me, God, I need your protection. Or maybe you're looking at your life and you're saying, I see nothing, Lord, help me to see it from your point of view. You put your hands in the air, I see your hands. Praise God. We're going to worship God. If that's you and you put up your hand, can I ask you to come to the top? We want to pray with you, yeah? There's power in prayer. So we want to create the space for the Holy Spirit to move. This is where things change. So if you want to come up as we worship, and we'll pray together.
All my life
been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every step that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so
prayer, you feel like you're under attack. It's all happening all around you, and you're going, God, I need your protection. Whether you're up the front or down the back, will you put a hand over your head and a hand over your heart? Because this is where the enemy gets us. He gets us in our heads, he gets us in our minds and in our hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray for every mind, every heart right now, and I pray that your peace that surpasses all understanding would fall on these people. Can I get an amen? God, we pray against any attack of the enemy on their lives, on their homes, on their heads, on their future, on their relationship. And we say, hands off Satan, get behind them. We claim the precious blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to put your angels around them. We pray any lie of the enemy that they're not safe, that you are not their provider, that you are not going to work this out, Lord. We come against it in Jesus' name. And we claim the truth that we are covered and protected and loved by you, Heavenly Father. Whatever goes on outside our doors, Lord, whatever is going on around us, we ask that your peace would calm it like the storm, that you would calm the storm. But we would focus on you, Lord, and any spirit of fear, we renounce it. And we have a spirit of faith instead, Lord, that you will work this out. For anyone who feels like they're in a barren land, you feel like there's nothing going on, you can't see it, if that's your prayer, will you raise a hand wherever you're at? See those hands. You see those hands. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. When we see nothing, you're able to see it all. We know that you're in control, Lord. But when we look at our lives, we might feel frustrated or doubtful. We might be anxious. We might feel like we're not doing enough. The Lord would say to you, it is not about doing. It's about being. And it's about being with him. The growth that is happening inside you is not from working. It's not from serving. It's from sitting with God. That's where the growth is going to come from, your relationship with God. If you do this any other way, you will not last. Because God has to be your strength. God has to be your source. So God, I pray over these barren lands. And I pray that your fruit would start sprouting from the ground. That we would see glimpses, Lord. We trust you with this, Father. Amen.
I just want to add in, this is what God was saying to me. Some of you put up your hand for barren ground. Last week I was walking by a field in the country and the smell was wicked. There was cow manure in the field and it smelt like crap, forgive me. But I believe the Lord is saying something. You're saying, my life is like crap. And I feel the Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear there, the manure brings life. It brings life, not death. And what you think is awful, God is saying, out of that is going to come such life that you will be amazed. And I believe God is saying to some of you who put your hand up for that, that some fruit bears fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And God is saying, you who said that about your life, you are going to bear fruit 100-fold. What you're going through now is the greatest blessing, but it's disguised. You can't see it as a blessing, but God is saying, oh, how I am blessing you. Heaven is open over you. So embrace it. And Lord, I pray right now that even though it doesn't smell or feel great, may my brothers and sisters know that you've got their back and that this will result in the greatest blessing ever. And we give it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just have a prophetic word for someone. I don't know if they're in the room, but I'm going to shout out their name. Is Jay in the room? If he is, will you put a hand up? Jay, I see you. I was praying for you earlier, sir. And the Spirit of God on you is unbelievable. But when I was praying for you, God gave me an image of a bicycle wheel. And you thought that there was a puncture in the wheel. And that's why you weren't able to go straight. That it was a slow puncture. It wasn't that. The wheel is bent. So no matter what way you went with it, no matter how much air you put into it, it just wasn't going straight. And it says in the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean in your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will make your path straight. That's what you need to do. You're trying to get through up to the height of this mountain. The issue isn't your effort. The issue is trusting God on a daily basis. He will make your path straight, Jay. Amen. Amen. Give God a round of applause. Hallelujah. I want to pray for us all this week, that the Lord would direct our steps. Amen. So if that's your prayer, will you raise a hand wherever you're at in the hall? Let's pray this over our week. God, we thank you that you are in control, that you direct our steps. Even when we don't have the strength to take the next step, Lord, you carry us. Hallelujah. So I pray over every single life in this room over the coming week, that we would be so sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord, that it would be like a whisper in our ear. When you tell us go, we'll go. When you tell us speak, we'll speak. When you tell us to stop talking, we'd stop talking. We'd be so in tune, Lord. I pray, God, any anxiety about the week ahead, anyone who prayed about that mountain this week, God, move the mountain by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All we need is faith like a mustard seed. It says in the book of Mark, have faith in God. So we trust you in the week ahead, Lord. Direct our steps, bless our homes, bless our future, God. We honor you and we surrender to your will and your ways. Have your way this week. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Before we finish, can you give one more minute to the Lord?
Yes.
Could we sing this song that we began at 9:30 this morning? I know God is speaking through it. All my life, he has been faithful. Let's sing it to God, because he's going to be faithful for you all this week.
All my life, you have been faithful.
All my life you have been faithful.
The Glen, and I pray into Ballincollig and everyone who lives in Mallow or Black Rock or Carrigaline or Ballincollig or Fairhill or Mahon or Middleton or wherever. May the goodness of God run into your house, into your life, in Jesus' name. And God's people say,